34-16, says, I just scored 3 touchdowns on your ass. Bring on the Lions. Crack those cold ones. It's the Argos Fancast. You can find us at Argos Fancast or anywhere you find your friendly neighborhood podcast. Just search Argos Fancast. We'll go directly to Spotify and pull us up there. We're powered by Spotify for podcasters. I'm Clay Chisholm. You can find me at All Kinds of Clay. And joining us, as always, our resident historian from ArgoFans.com. He is our VP of Football Operations, Will Gertler, MBA.
Hi, everybody. You can find me on Twitter at ArgoFans or at www.ArgoFans.com.
And from the Double Blue Order, Sir Douglas of House Ballinger, second of his name, Lord of Section 160, Warden of the South Side, and Protector of the Realm.
Well, we had another beautiful Sunday, but, I mean, it was only the Elks, so I ain't singing. You can find me on Twitter at DougB519. You can find the Double Blue Order on Facebook, on Twitter, on Instagram. And you can also, we also have a merchandise store that features a couple of new designs, but it also still includes the Law Firm t-shirt. Don't know for how much longer that's going to be up, but we still have it up there. Go check it out, doublebluorder.ca.
Well, gentlemen, we have another game, another win.
Before we go on to that, shout out to my club, Bethel Thompson. Sorry about, unfortunately, the Breakers lost in the USFL semifinal. That kind of stings. That kind of sucks.
Yeah.
Wasn't a close game either.
No, they got stomped. They got friggin' sent to oblivion.
Well, it's yeah, it wasn't the outcome we were hoping for, but you know, he had a great season, but I'm sure if you ask him, he probably won't be happy with the season because obviously he didn't win. Because he seems to be more about the team winning than any personal stats. Moving on. We had a game on Sunday.
Yeah, we had a game.
What a game.
We had a game. The Elks had a shellacking.
Yeah. Final score very much flattered the Elks. 43-31 Argos. On the stats sheet, let's see. Chad Kelly, 13 of 23 for 264 yards, a touchdown, and 2 picks that we're going to have issues with. A.J. Ouellette, 18 carries, 84 yards, and 3 touchdowns. Probably would have been more if he would have kept playing. David Unger was your leading receiver, 3 catches, 75 yards. Dejon Brissett, targeted 8 times, caught 4 passes, 63 yards. David Unger did score a touchdown, by the way. Cam Phillips added 61 yards. DeMonte Coxey had 33. DeVaris Daniels, 23. Andrew Harris, 11. And that's it for the ones that counted there. On defense, Royce Metchie had a game. 7 tackles, a pick, and a score. Darius Pickett, 5 tackles, 2 sacks. Jonathan Jones, 5 tackles. What else we got here? We've got Flo had another sack. Dwayne Hendricks had a sack. Thomas Costigan had a sack. Brendan Barlow had a sack. Jeez, everybody.
We had half a dozen. Half a dozen sacks.
Oh, it was. When you look at the 31 points that Edmonton scored, 14 of those were in the latter half of the fourth quarter, where the Argos were just kind of sitting back and letting things happen.
And one of them was a pick six.
Yeah. So, you know, it played pretty good. Played pretty good.
They played like how defending champs should be playing. Except for letting off the gas in the fourth quarter, but that's just me.
But, I mean, we did put up 18 points in the third quarter, so.
Yeah, and they were running the ball. I mean, they were pretty much in run-the-ball mode in the fourth quarter.
Yeah. So, and they were, and I mean, we were giving everybody their, everybody carries in the in this game. We did end up chasing Taylor Cornelius from the game.
We chased all pretty much almost all three other quarterbacks from the game, for God's sake.
Well, yeah. They went through all three.
Yeah. And then they released.
Yeah, they I know.
Yeah. They released their second stringer after he fumbled in exchange on these only snap. Ty Loxley is no more.
So, I mean, to our Edmonton peeps, like, holy cow, you guys are a mess.
Yeah.
That's not good. Like, I mean, there's only one team I want to see suffer this badly. But we'll get into that later. But, I mean, Edmonton's not on that list, so.
No. And it's, I mean, they've had a decent run. They haven't had many down years since pre-Warren Moon days. But this is, yeah, not having a home win since before you were known as the Elks. That's not a good thing. And I feel bad for those guys out there.
We saw in their O-line gave up, what, 6 sacks?
Yep.
And probably could have been a lot more.
Yep. And
easily should have been a lot more in some cases.
The Argos ran for 192 yards.
Our
that's insane.
Okay, and the even more insane thing about this is Peter Nicastro, who has been working out at guard all season, and in the in training camp, at the last second moved over to center. Dylan Giffen stepped up, and they did that to the Edmonton Elks, who were supposed to have a decent front seven.
And Dylan Giffen was the, I believe, the highest ranked offensive lineman on the PFF rankings.
I think we had a few of those.
Oh, we had more than one.
Yeah, but well, you know what? We'll get to that in a little bit. I think we need to do this.
The good, the bad, the ugly.
I haven't heard that in a while.
Well, okay, ugly. Will, what is your ugly off the bat?
Oh, it's our coverage on kick and punt returns, for sure. The several of Edmonton's scores were set up by kickoff returns and punt returns by CJ Sims. So CJ Sims returned 3 punts for 104 yards, the longest of 52, and returned 6 kickoffs for 181 yards, but the longest gain of 72. That's something the Argos are certainly going to need to tighten up, because against better teams, it may cost them. And I'd also highlight, you know, our punt returns only managed 56 yards, while our kickoff returns only managed 31 yards. And for the love of God, can we please not have a Darius Pickett return kicks? I mean, the guy is a beast on defense. He's probably the best player on our defense. He's worth every fucking penny we're paying him. Don't put him in that spot. Please.
The only way he's not there is if Javon Leak was healthy.
Well, they did. They did put
BJ Birdie.
BJ Birdie out there, yeah, as well.
We're gonna. I mean, I'm gonna apologize to him right now, but we're probably gonna call him. We're probably gonna call BJ Bird BJ Birdie all season long, and I hope he really doesn't mind it.
We'll have to ask him one day. BJ Bird was doing our punt returns. Darius Pickett was back there for kickoff returns.
Yeah.
If our
blocking schemes were better, I could understand it. But
yeah,
he's too important.
Yeah. He's
out there.
I see where you come from there, Will. My bad. The two interceptions that Chad Kelly threw were very much a rookie's mistakes. And I understand he's still relatively green as far as his experience goes, but you did that once. Okay, we're going to learn from it, and you're not going to make those mistakes again. You better not, because, yeah. And you even heard in the when they interviewed Luchez Purifoy, he knew exactly what was going to happen on those plays. So that means that Chad Kelly's telegraphing things, and that's something he's going to have to work on.
But, yeah. I mean, okay, devil's advocate on this one, okay? Well, not exactly devil's advocate, but you'll understand what I mean in a second. So he gives up the pick six, right? Where I even quoted good old JR by going, "Aw, son of a bitch." But he came right back after that and put up a pretty darn good drive.
He was goldfish.
Exactly. So
that, I mean, you know what? That's one of those things that's, you know, beyond his, that's that he, as a guy for what the experience he's had, he should not have that yet. But I'm glad he does. He just got to go take the film study and make sure he fixes those mistakes that they were able to see and make the plays on.
Yeah. Which you know is going to happen. So.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. I mean, there's no way that you're going to have Ryan Dinwiddie allow him to not learn from those. There's no way.
No.
Doug, what was your ugly?
Ooh. Well, pretty much the pick six was probably the ugliest part of the game for me. So it wasn't bad because it came right back. I mean, it was just great, like, all credit to the defense, great coverage by them, and it was a piss poor selection by Chad.
Yeah.
It's like, I knew as soon as Purifoy caught it, he was gone. I knew he was going straight to the end zone. That's why as soon as he caught it, I just went, "Ah, son of a bitch." Right?
Yeah, like, there's nobody in front of him.
he had you could have driven a tank through the hole it was wide open field. He could have pranced in.
My God, I probably could have walked into the end zone.
You could have moonwalked in the end zone, Clay.
And I don't even know how to moonwalk. I'd have time to learn to moonwalk, then execute it.
One of the things that kind of about Chad sometimes is, and I don't really know if I have a scientific proof of this, is he struggles a little bit if the Argos are caught inside their own 20.
Yeah, and I mean, in this game, there was a couple that he was doing that, but there was a few that he was starting to get it, and I think, you know, that's like the interceptions he threw. That's something that's going to take some time to develop, because when you're sitting back there, and you know, it's one of those things. It's you know, yeah, you want that short memory for the bad plays, but you also don't want to have those same feelings of, oh crap, I'm backed up in the end zone, right? You know, there's that lingering thing in the back of your mind when you're in that close. And that's one of those things he's got to remove from his brain. And I think that those troubles will go away. Are we considering that your bad, Will?
I suppose.
Unless you got something else.
I could have done without that fluky touchdown at the end.
Okay. All right. Let's talk about that for a second here. That was one of the craziest things I've ever seen.
Yeah.
That was one. Honestly, it was a shitty throw. Should have been picked off. But it said it was a tip drill to the receiver, who then just canes it to the end zone and touch it and gets a touchdown.
Yeah.
What the hell?
You saw Whitten McManus's face there, right?
Yeah.
Poor guy.
Because he just slaughtered the quarterback. Like,
oh, he freaking killed the poor guy.
Look, to bring it back to wrestling here, Keith Lee would have been proud.
Oh, that
if you know, you know. Keith Lee would have been proud.
I'm gonna go a little off the board with that. I'm thinking Monty Brown would be proud of that one.
Yes, he would.
Of the pounce. Period.
Oh, that interception was I mean, there's a reason you practice the tip drills on both offense and defense, and it's for that one or two plays like that a year.
Well, that's it. Can't get any. That's it. Just yeah.
They're done.
Time of death. Yeah. Call it in. Time of death.
All right, Doug, what was your bad?
Well, getting off the gas and giving him a little bit of life in the fourth. That would be mine. I mean, as much as I love, like, you just can't. I mean, it's not the way I do. It's not the way I would do things. I would be like foot to the throat and don't let him come up.
Yeah.
They kind of let him up just a little bit, trying to. I guess if they wanted to give the fans a little bit of hope, you know, give their fans a little bit of hope, considering that they were down by like what, 30 at one point.
Yeah,
or high 20s.
Yeah.
So,
you know, I think Ben touched on this in his 13 thoughts that he posted on the site that shall not be named. We'll get to that in a minute. But he did touch on that, and I'll expand on that in a little bit, why I think that that wasn't such a big deal.
Coach admitted in his post-game conference he gets a bit, you know, admit he got a bit conservative there.
Yeah. I don't have much else of anything bad in there. Like, I wanted to say the kick returns, but we've already kind of touched on that because the special teams was almost broken. All right, the good.
There's an awful lot of good here.
Yep.
Well, start us off.
You want me to start us off?
All right.
All right. Lowest hanging fruit, AJ Ouellette, man. Woo! Throwing at my hat to the field for you. And then subsequently getting kicked out of BMO Field for throwing a hat on the field.
Even though
we throw streamers and sorry to our cleanup crew.
Hey, you guys have a cleanup crew now.
Yeah, I know.
There's somebody always stationed in that end zone now whenever the Argos are even close to the red zone.
Sorry, not sorry, but anyway, yeah, AJ Ouellette, man. Woo. Let's go.
I was kind of hoping they would leave him in there so we could get the fourth one, so we could bring out the Pokai references.
Dude.
I feel like that would fit very well with his personality.
Dude.
But
Dr. Ty and Marion got to see their son carry the ball a little bit, so that was nice.
Yeah, and they gave some carries to Andrew Harris. Everybody seemed to get in on the action. Will, you got it. Where else are you going?
I am going to go with David Unger III. So Curly Gittens, unfortunately, missed the game due to hamstring injury. Hopefully it's nothing too serious.
Hopefully wasn't a hamstring injury as well.
Pardon?
Hopefully that Al wasn't a hamstring injury as well.
No, that wasn't. And both David Unger and Deshaun Brissett stepped up. Unger had 3 catches for 75 yards and a touchdown. Also had a punt block. He blocked a punt, which helped set up the Argos to go up 33-17. And, stepped it up big.
And that block punt, I was waiting for you to say that. When you mentioned Dave Runger, I thought, okay, that's where I'm going with that's where I was going to go with it. They said post-game that there was another punt that he faked like he was going to go and realized that he was going, if they came out with the same punt coverage formation, he was going to have a free shot right to it, unabated to the punter. That was where I was going to go, UBS, but you stole that from me. Well, to steal something from our friends at the X's and Argos, because God knows we need somewhere to come up with original content. The Toronto sack exchange. 6 sacks should have been a lot more. They just absolutely just dominated.
Both sides of the ball.
Yeah, and then our O line I think that, you know, it's not in the CFL. It's you don't always get a lot of run heavy offenses, and you know they just love to just tee off and just go run people over. So you don't get to do that in pass blocking.
No.
So they were probably having a great time out there, and they were having their way with the defensive line in Edmonton.
Yeah, only allowed 51 yards rushing our defense.
Yeah, and then we put up 119. And if you look back on the three touchdowns that AJ scored, you can count on one finger how many times he was actually touched before he got into the end zone.
I thought they said it was zero.
Well, I think there was probably one where there was a hand or maybe an accidental leg. But, yeah, he was just straight through. And a lot of that has to go to the offensive line and clearing that right out. And another thing that's going to absolutely blow Doug's mind is the site that shall not be named gave out their best and worst awards for week 3. Toronto's offensive line was named the best offensive line of the week.
That does blow my mind, because I honestly thought they would give it to Hamilton for not even showing up for their game. Just because.
It's Hamilton. They're going to go 18-0.
Yeah, well, right now you fuckers are on 0-1 watch, so, but we'll get to that later.
But I thought I'd throw that in there for you, Doug, just because, you know.
Just because I wouldn't be caught dead going to that site anymore. Thanks. Appreciate that.
I actually want to give a shout out to Dylan Giffen. Stepped in at right guard, and I, you know, didn't look like he, you know, looked like he'd been there for a while.
Mm-hmm. And especially because Gregor McKellar's normally the guy who he was there all last year.
Yep.
And they made some interesting choices. Some of it, I think, was ratio related, but I think they made some interesting choices. Like
Sean Oakman, for example.
Yeah. He was a healthy scratch.
And the only reason why wasn't because of his play. It was because it was ratio related.
Yep.
Ratio related. And yeah. And that has to do with a couple injuries we had on offense. So,
but okay. Think about this for a second. Just picture this. Our front seven is like that without Sean Oakman in it.
What's it gonna? I am reminded of one of the first interviews that my son Travis did when he was doing the junior admiral things. And he interviewed a couple of the Argos defensive tackles. And they compared the taste of quarterbacks to cake.
Oof. Yeah.
Well. I think that fits here as well.
That defensive tackle was a little
Yes.
I'm gonna try and not go full Portal on this one by saying that the cake is a lie. because if you've ever played Portal, especially the first one, you know what happens. if you haven't played the first Portal, it's actually a nice little puzzle platformer game, and it comes with actually a really good story. But it's like 15 years old though, so it's a pretty old game, but you can get it for pretty cheap on Steam if you're so inclined to do so.
Well, moving over to some other good stuff that happened.
Got one more.
Got one more?
Yeah. Well, shout out to Jamal Peters for holding Eugene Lewis to 543 yards and 5 catches.
when he got home, so once again, like how Peter DeGastro pulled Simone Lawrence out of his pants pocket when he got home. In this case, Jamal Peters pulled up Gene Lewis out of his pants pockets when he got home.
Well, he had to pull out the football that he stole from him first.
Oh, okay. makes me wonder, how big are these pockets at this point?
it's like a clown car. You don't ask how, it just happens.
Or a TARDIS. God, I'm just going full nerd today. What's wrong with me?
Oh, we did mention the Pro Football Focus stats, and
those guys are amazing because they're doing what the CFL should be doing.
It's one of the few stat things that the CFL's gotten right this year.
Yeah,
and the Argos dominated the top. The top rankings on there. You had AJ Willette was the number one ranked running back at 81.1 points. Dylan Giffen, the number one rated O-lineman at 83.5. Dwayne Hendricks, the number one defensive lineman at 84.3. Adarius Pickett, he's not a linebacker, was the number one linebacker at 82 points. And Royce Metchie was the number one DB at 92.5 points.
92.5 FM. Kiss 92. Tarzan Dan in the afternoon.
Yeah, it was. Now, okay, I'm. And, you know, we had the top guys, right? But then I'm going down here, and on the offensive line, the top three rated offensive linemen, Dylan Giffen, Dejon Allen, and Peter DeCastro. Yeah. I don't know what else you can say. They balled out.
Yes, sir.
Now, the other one thing that I did want to talk about referencing this game, apart from the Pro Football Focus, was the article that Ben wrote on the site that shall not be named. You can find it on his Twitter at Ben_Grant or X's and Argos. He's got links there. I believe the Fancast has also retweeted it. But he put a nice article out, 13 thoughts on the Argos beating the Elks. And this is where I stole the Toronto Sack Exchange from. This is also where I found out that Sean Oakman wasn't injured. He was a healthy scratch due to ratio issues. And he does expect Sean Oakman to be back. But I did mention about the Argos getting a little bit soft and a little bit conservative at times. But from what Ben was saying, Corey Mace went absolute. He threw everything out there, including the kitchen sink, with the formations. He blitzed almost every down and had some nice exotic looks. Your boy Doug Flo lined up at linebacker and defensive tackle. Jordan Williams and Adarius Pickett were lined up as safeties on a couple plays. Giant defensive tackle Jared Brinkman was lined up as an edge rusher. And at one point, I swear I saw them playing a 4-2 at one point. And, you know, we got to see Jones got a lot of reps. So he was just trying everything out. And I think, you know, when you're playing a team like the Elks, who were not very good and are very disjointed, you get to try some of these things.
Yep.
So
Jordan Williams got banged up, I do believe.
Yeah, and in a game like that, you know, if it's not too bad, you can pull him and play your backups and better not be that bad. Jordan Williams, yeah, I mean, beast.
I hope it's not too bad because, of course, he Nakamamba is already on the sixth game.
Yep. And you know, if we've talked a lot about the pretty much everything else he put in here, he kind of read our minds here. You know, and we kind of, you know, touched on Chad Kelly being a little bit up and down. He's comparing Chad Kelly to the wild beast at Canada's Wonderland.
Okay. All right. Hang on a second.
Is that roller coaster still there?
Yes, it is. I thought it would have been Vortex at least. I mean, Wild Beast is bumpy as fuck.
I think that's kind of what. Worse.
I mean, it's not as bad as the Mind Buster, aka the Mighty Canadian Spine Buster.
Yeah.
But then again, I have some vacation time coming up. I might actually go to Wonderland
and ride the Mind Buster.
I haven't been in like since I was a teenager. And to think that park is as old as I am.
Well, then you're gonna have to try Leviathan.
Oh, I know. Like the big three are on the list.
Leviathan,
Behemoth, Yukon Striker are on my list.
I was Behemoth. I did not like. Leviathan, I really like, but my head does not like it. Because I remember the last time I got off there was the last time I've been on it, and I looked at Travis and told him to stop moving, and he goes, "Dad, I'm standing still."
Yeah, that's not good.
Yeah. Yeah, it was.
But then again, you've had your own little issues, but
that might have
contributed to it.
Yeah, and when I told the doctor about that, they kind of said, "Yeah, you probably shouldn't be going on those anymore."
Probably just facepalmed and went, "What the frig are you doing?"
Pretty much, yeah.
but yeah, it's like I'm definitely. But yeah, so those three coasters are definitely on my list. And I might get reacquainted with some of my old favorites as long as they're running.
Yeah, and whatever they're naming the Top Gun now, because that one's a good one too.
I remember when that is it bad that I remember when that first came out?
I was there the first year it came out. We were there Victoria Day long weekend. And we were on the second run of the day.
Oh, wow.
And us, along with about 60 or 70 other people, kept running and jumping all the gates to try and get back in line as quickly as possible, three or four times in a row.
Yeah, because I know when I got there, the lineup was already like 4 or 5 hours long, but I'm like, you know what? I'm getting on this thing. It's friggin' worth it. So,
yeah,
it was at the time.
Yeah, we were there when it first opened up. So we're waiting for them to unlock the little plastic chain that led us to that side of the park.
You know, that's the sad part, eh? That's only stopped by a plastic chain.
We were abiding by the rules.
I know. I mean, but it's just a plastic chain. I mean, you could easily go through that like it was nothing.
Yeah.
But yeah,
Where were we talking about Chad Kelly at one point.
Chad Kelly was compared to the wild beast. That. So.
Yeah, he's saying he's going to have his ups and downs. Really, you know. He's a gambling gunslinger, and he's got more confidence in his arm than any man should have. But we also have more confidence in his arm than I think he throws a better deep ball than Doug Flutie.
Whoa, hot take alert.
Whoa.
Have you seen his deep balls?
They're very good.
Yeah, they are.
And go look back at Doug Flutie's. How many times did a receiver had to make adjustments? I mean, we've got a much smaller sample size with Chad Kelly, but if he keeps doing that, I think he's going to be the known for that deep ball. So
I still would have picked Dragonfire. At least.
Yeah, yeah.
Still there.
That's still there. Oh.
A lot of the old coasters are still there.
Yeah.
Our rider's the only one they've taken away.
Hmm?
Guy Rider? The you know.
Yeah, the stand-up one.
Yeah. I had fun times on that coaster.
That was a good coaster. That one looked honestly, when you went on it, it was more fun than it looked like it should be.
Yeah. Because when you looked at it from the outside, you're thinking, oh, geez, this is not going to go well.
Well, the bicycle seats always hurt, you know.
Well, you're not supposed to sit on it.
You're supposed to adjust it so it's a little bit further down. You can adjust those things.
Yeah.
It was always
you're not supposed to sit on the damn thing because gravity is going to keep you up. The centrifugal force when you go through the loop would keep you upright.
Well, there's no other stand-up coasters in Canada left.
No.
I don't know how many there are in the U.S. either, because I think a lot of them got
condemned?
Yeah. Not necessarily condemned. They just kind of, you know,
or
replaced.
Yeah, or and moved to Europe, like what happened with Skyrider. If you actually wanted to go and ride the old Skyrider, you have to go. I think it's somewhere in Italy right now. And it's like fully reassembled and it's running fine.
Cavallino Motto.
So anyway, enough Wonderland talk because because we could
now we're gonna go in, we're gonna end up going down a rabbit hole and trying to find out exactly where Sky Rider is
in Tuscany.
Sold to Cavallino Matto.
Yes, in Tuscany.
Yeah.
So that's.
And it operates now as Freestyle.
I'm sure some Argo players have visited Wonderland.
Oh, yeah. But other news around the CFL before we get into our game preview and our
the
fantasy.
The Jets game is gone?
Yeah. and we're still on Wonderland.
Wait, what?
yeah, they got rid of Jet Scream.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, that thing. Yeah. Well, yeah. I could never do that anyway.
Neither could I.
Yeah, I never went on it too. Losing my lunch wasn't.
I always laughed when it got to the apex and everyone's wallets just started falling out.
That's why you're supposed to leave them in those little cubby things.
Or put it in your back pocket when you're actually sitting on it.
Like the
news
around the CFL. The Lions are still good. The Blue Bombers, not as good. And we got some familiar quarterbacks coming back to the CFL. Dakota Prukop is back with the Bombers, and Khalil Tate is back in the CFL with the Elks.
Still won't put Trey Ford in.
No.
He'll put everybody. Chris Jones will put everybody else in except for Trey Ford.
Now I think the
fans want to see him now.
Yeah, I am wondering because is this just a Chris Jones does not like Trey Ford, or is he legitimately not nearly as good as everybody thought he was going to be?
Well, if you ask OV Argo, which you don't want to do, it's a conspiracy against Canadian players in the CFL.
We're not going to, like, at this point, dude, should I just call up Smitty so we can have him be friggin', get the Alex Jones impression going on and start doing CFL conspiracy theories?
Oh, this guy for like the last 25 years.
Turn the friggin' frogs game.
Giant CFL conspiracy theory.
Yeah. Speaking of theories in the CFL, we're not sure why Trey Ford is there. I think we'll have to ask our friends at the Turf District.
I honestly don't think they even know.
Nah. All right. Any Edmonton fan who's been out to practice is. What? Any idea?
I think it's that other guy is taking first team reps.
Doggy.
I don't know whatever his name is pronounced.
Diggy.
I don't know.
He just wanted to make a Doogie Howser reference.
Dodgy, don't age.
We're still a little bit out from getting our disciplinary action notice this week. But there is going to be one player whose name is listed on there.
Chris Edwards.
Chris Edwards.
Mr. Repeat Offender.
Well,
at least this time he's keeping it on the field, not trying to beat up fans.
You know, I said this, Clay, the other day, and Clay, you know, you're on record as saying what you felt about Chris Edwards when that incident happened back in December 2021. I'm kind of taking the position that, you know, I'm not going to play the Me personally, I'm not going to play the I told you so, because I don't think I complained as vehemently.
No, I've said my piece on there. I know a lot of people are going, well, you're being too harsh on him. I'm, regardless of this situation, I mean, yeah, he's going to, this is a, if this was an isolated incident, this is, I say this should be, you know, a 2-game suspension to send a message. Depends on what they're allowed to do based on the collective bargaining agreement. But I've been on record saying that, you know, you get into an altercation with a fan, that's it. That's where I draw the line. And I like Chris Edwards. I loved him when he was playing with the Argos, but as soon as he did that, I don't care what fan base you're getting in a fight with. You know, had they given him the axe right then and there, this is not happening. But this is why I'm not on the disciplinary committee. And this is why I'm not a general manager, because I would make these decisions and I wouldn't think twice about it.
Now, just for those who have not seen what he did, it was near the end of the game. And Austin Mack reached out as like a, kind of like a handshake, good game gesture, and Chris Jones, or not Chris Jones. Well, although he could have lost his shit anyway. But Chris Edwards just came out and just shoved him to the turf.
Mm-hmm.
So for me, that's going to be, to me, that's a fine at the minimum, at the bare minimum. Like, fine, definitely. Suspension, maybe. But there are some that are saying kick him out the league. Well,
I'm not saying kick him out of the league.
Not for that.
I'm saying kick him out of the league for what he did prior to this.
Yeah.
But that's already done and gone.
Yeah.
So I'm going to let that rest. And leave my piece at that. But yeah, you're right. This is fine or suspension. I believe it should be a suspension, but he will be making an appearance on that weekly disciplinary notice
yet again.
Well, we're coming up on week 4.
Mm-hmm.
And this week we get to play a Monday game because it is a long weekend.
Mm.
And the 2-0 Toronto Argonauts are hosting the 3-0 BC Lions.
If you're not going to this one, go.
Get your tickets.
This is good. Yeah, get your tickets. Argonauts.ca. This is gonna be a cracker of a game, I feel.
Yeah.
I mean, this is top of the tables clash. Potential Grey Cup matchup. And not only that, they're going to be honoring Damon Allen and Mookie Mitchell. You don't want to miss it.
So at this point, is Damon Allen just traveling with the Argos so that he can be honored everywhere? Because he was with them. He was honored at Edmonton.
Yeah, exactly. It was like, it wouldn't surprise me if he was wearing it wouldn't surprise me if he was wearing a BC shirt on Monday.
Well, no. See, he has to go with them.
Yeah.
They were honoring the 1993 Edmonton Eskimo Grey Cup team.
Well, you know what? He's not going to go with them on their next road trip July 14th because he didn't play for Montreal. But yeah, so we got BC coming up, and they are the absolute class of the league right now. Their offense is honestly, I'm not sure. Like, they made Winnipeg look weak, but I mean, they've scored just enough to make themselves comfortable, really. And they've done that with precision. Precision and efficiency. When they need to score, they score. They've got guys stepping up all over the place. You know, they were, and their defense is pretty good. You know, they shut out Edmonton. They held Winnipeg to 6 points. So it's going to be a test.
It's going to be a huge test.
This is going to be the litmus test on whether or not we are in that top tier or we're just below it. Because the top tier in the CFL is usually one or two teams. That's it. And this is, I think we've got about three. Yeah. We haven't played, we played Hamilton and Edmonton so far, and they both suck.
Well, to be fair, we expected Hamilton to be a much bigger test than they were.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
So and then BC's Edmonton, we knew who they were going in.
Yeah.
But like I said, the bigger test was supposed to be Hamilton, and, well, it wasn't.
Now, Doug, what is your key to getting this win?
Hopefully something along the lines of something to do with a lack of turnovers. Let's try and throw any picks, especially pick sixes. I mean, we all know Chad Kelly's pretty darn good, so. But I mean, like, let's see him after that performance. Let's see him bounce back, and let's see him put up even better numbers.
Mm-hmm. Will?
Got to try and enforce Vernon Adams into some turnovers to give the Argos a short field, hopefully.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I'm in the same boat. We've got to contain Vernon Adams and force him into low percentage plays. You know, the Bombers showed that you can contain Mazzell, but he did have his coming out party against the Eskimos. So, you know, it's not saying that much, but yeah. And yeah, I think we got to play mistake-free football. We really got to play mistake-free football if we want to win this game.
Yeah, because you know BC will capitalize on any mistake that we make.
Yep. And honestly, when you look at a lot of the stuff that's hurt us this year, it's been the mistakes.
Mm-hmm.
If we can play a mistake-free or fairly mistake-free football game, I fully believe we have more than a good enough team to beat BC. But we haven't played a mistake-free or a close to mistake-free football game yet. And it would help if some of the other people got healthy too.
And AJ getting 7 yards a carry.
Yeah. Maybe we'll go for 4 touchdowns this week.
At that point, I have to make a new shirt then.
An additional shirt. You know, you should know as from wrestling, you're allowed to have multiple shirts.
Yes. Yes. Well, I didn't say I was discontinuing any.
No. Oh, and I may have to I do this on Twitter. Every time he scores, it's a touchdown omelet. So okay. We have
all
to
right.
Pay.
All right. All right. Hang on. But all right. The touch. Okay. So you put touchdown omelet.
Yep.
I was going to say this for the 3-minute warning, but I'll say it now. What do you put in the touchdown omelet?
Oh. You know what? I need to think about that. We'll do that. We'll do that in the we will do that in the 3-minute warning.
Okay.
But I may have
I'll get back to you on that one.
Yeah. I you know, if he continues on this road, we may have to get a touchdown omelet shirt going too.
Mm-hmm. As well as making them at the tailgate. That'd be nice.
Yeah.
Make it a specialty.
Yeah, we've got a 1 o'clock game at some point, don't we?
We do, yes.
All right. Well,
I'll be there at the crack of dawn like I usually am.
All right. So that 1 o'clock game, we're doing touchdown omelets. There we go. We've got take that Turf District and your fantastic menu for the whole season that I'm really, really jealous of. Okay,
just wait.
Let's get to our fantasy and pick 'em here. We won a game.
Yay! What are we now? 1-2?
1-2. We have the fourth most points in the league.
Who did we beat?
We beat Ryan from the Ghost Amps podcast.
Get it up, you Ryan. Sorry.
Now, okay, Doug, who pick a position and let's fill it.
Running back, AJ, done. I don't care how much he is, you're putting him in there.
He's only 11,000.
That's.
I think that's really because he's playing BC. James Butler is 15,000 versus the bye.
We all know. Well, here's the thing: we all know Hamilton's losing the bye. Hint: take the over on the bye.
Oh, wow. Okay. There's only three games this week, so not a lot to pick from.
Yeah, it's a little bit of slim pickings this week.
Let's see. Geez, do we keep going with Chad Kelly or do we try and take Daigie versus Ottawa?
Kelly's up to 14K now, so.
Well, if Daigie does well, he's only at 6'9", and he's likely going to be starting the game.
Here's the thing, though. Bucknuckle's only 5K.
Yeah, but he's not playing.
Who's starting for Ottawa?
The other guy. Can't remember what his name was. Tyree Adams is starting.
Well, 7K, that's okay.
Versus Edmonton. Yeah.
I mean, if you're gonna look for value, you gotta look for it in the toilet bowl. I hate to say it.
Yeah. All right, well, I have a feeling Daigie's going to throw for more yards than Adams.
We'll depend on who else is on the depth chart for
Ottawa. Yeah. I think we'll probably have to I'll revisit that closer to game time in the first game.
Yeah.
Will, since this is your favorite segment of the show, pick a position and a player. Did we lose Will?
Is he asleep?
He didn't
Yeah, he's asleep. Okay.
No, I just had.
Wake up!
But you don't want to rely on me for fantasy picks.
Well, look, we have to kind of, you know.
We have to come up with a consensus here.
Well, come up with a team, and I'll copy it.
This isn't like you going to school here, okay? You just can't copy off our work and get full credit for it.
I don't know. Pick. I don't know. They're all so expensive, these people.
All right. Well, Julian Grant.
Fire on Austin Mack. I don't know.
Austin Mack? Done. He's in there. Okay. And you know what? I like to live dangerously. I'm picking the Argos defense.
Sure.
Ooh.
Yeah. So right now penciled in, we've got the Argos defense. Daigie is our quarterback. Specifically for value only. AJ Willette is written in stone as our running back at this point. And Austin Mack at receiver. We still got a running back, wide receiver, and a flex player to fill out. We will get to those at some point before the start of the play on Friday. Now, prediction time for this week. Start off the Canada Day long weekend in Ottawa with Edmonton joining Ottawa in the other toilet bowl, I guess. 0-3 versus 0-2. Can we say that at this point of the season?
That is the first toilet bowl match of the first tank bowl match of the year.
All
first
right.
First tank bowl, whatever you want to call it. I think we'll just call it toilet bowl because, with the CFL, you can't really tank for a draft pick. So,
okay. So
we'll call it toilet bowl.
If for the only reason that I'm picking their quarterback, I'm going to pick Edmonton to win this one. Doug?
That is an interesting question. I mean, on the one hand, Edmonton's on the road, so they're probably going to win. But on the other hand, it just depends on how Ottawa's injuries are. Because they're missing a couple of key pieces. So, And I mean a couple of key pieces that are not named Jeremiah Mazzoli.
Mm-hmm. Especially with Deadman being put on the shelf for the whole year.
Yeah, that's a rough one. You know what? It's Turf District versus Mouchoir, and I think I'm gonna go Turf District on this one.
All right, Will.
Well, I think do the football gods really want to troll Ottawa? I mean, they haven't won a home game in a while either. And last year, of course, both teams won their road matchups against one another. Sorry, Ottawa, I'm going to Edmonton.
Oh, come on. I know you're not sorry.
No, not really. That.
Yeah, exactly.
Saturday, we've got Winnipeg in Montreal. Saturday, July 1st, Canada Day. Winnipeg is in Montreal.
In a place that technically is a part of the country.
Well, it is.
Just a sum of the people there.
Yeah, you can cut that.
Now, I think most of the people there are very happy to be Canadians. There are still a handful of people that don't view themselves as Canadians, but you know, we're starting to get the handful of those people in Ontario and Alberta that don't view themselves as Canadians now too. But yeah. Anyway.
Yeah, anyway, you, like I said, you can cut that.
I'm saying Winnipeg's pissed. Winnipeg's going to beat them.
I think Winnipeg's going to eat Cody Fajardo for lunch. They need to really beef up that O-line in Montreal. Somehow, some way, they need to beef it up. Because he can't keep taking 6 sacks a game.
Nope.
I'm going bold. Montreal.
Ooh. All right, Doug. You're the tiebreaker.
Oh, I said Winnipeg.
Oh, yeah, you said, yeah, you're taking Winnipeg. Okay, and then BC and Toronto on Monday evening. I'm going to say Toronto by 4. Will?
Toronto by 6.25.
Ooh. And Doug?
Toronto by 1.
All right.
Because that's, to me, that's like been the on-brand kind of point. I know that's the way it was last year. So that's what I'm going to say. It's going to be very, very close. If you're a neutral, it's going to be a very enjoyable game to watch.
Yeah. All right. And you know what? We don't have time for the Blitz picks. One day we'll figure out this whole timing thing.
A legal procedure.
Wait, that's not the right one.
Well, didn't somebody have a flag they wanted to throw?
I thought somebody
had a flag they were going to throw.
He thought about it and he put the challenge flag back in his pocket.
Oh, okay.
Oh, this is the...
All right, gentlemen, you have 3 minutes, and you better make it good.
3 minutes, and we're out of here. We got 3 minutes, and we're out. Is this thing on?
Yeah.
Are you hearing it?
All right, the longest 3 minutes in podcasting today. We're going to start it off with the Owen Watch.
Oh, we got a few of them.
It's a new segment. I call it the Owen Watch. Basically, every year we always have a team. We have this very special character that we came up with. His name is Cousin Owen, and he's a bit of an asshole.
He's a freeloader.
He's a freeloader. He likes to leave beer cans all over the place. Basically we're just going to keep an eye as to which basement apartment Owen moves into. And as it stands right now, we're going into week 4 here. There's 3 places that he could potentially go. Edmonton, Ottawa, or Hamilton. All 3 of those teams have not scored a win as of yet. I think everybody who knows me knows where I want Owen to go to. but at the end of this week, it's going to be, well, actually, as of what, 10:30, 11 o'clock Friday evening?
One of those teams is going to be crossed off the list.
Yep.
And it's not going to be Hamilton.
Like I said, they're the only team that I think that no matter what happens, they're losing this bye week.
Well, yeah, I'm looking at the standings here. Hamilton and the point is specifically the points for or against.
Oh, yeah.
Hamilton has given up 112 points in 3 games. 112. That's a lot.
Yeah. Yeah, the team that's just ahead of Hamilton is actually Winnipeg. Because they've given up 88. The only difference between those two teams is the fact that Winnipeg has put up 93 points on the board, whereas Hamilton only has put up 57.
Yes.
So that is the Owen watch for week four. From the basement apartment, we now take a trip out east. Like really east. Like beyond the Urals east. That's right, folks. We're taking a trip all the way to Astana. Let's go check in with our buddy Anton and the Kazakhstani Argo fan.
Very nice.
Very nice. How much? Okay. There was one that he had from... When was this? Yeah, from a couple of days ago, actually. Where a Ticat fan was holding on to their daughter, I guess. Yeah. And he puts up now I think they got the masculine and feminine in the language wrong, but that's just me. Well, at least according to Google it says that, but put up, this is a beautiful baby. Why should they be disappointed for the rest of their life? Dress a baby in double blue. In English, it's called win-win.
Not bad. I like one also keeping with the Hamilton theme. He quoted a tweet. It said, anyone heard the punishment for the clown emoji Chris Edwards yet? And he says, some say it's embarrassing enough to play in Hamilton, as if Boris got drunk and came on to Ant, who was 30 years older than him. We laughed. It took him a while to get rolling this year, but he's starting to come up with some good ones.
Yeah. Then there's one really good one. We also have deer in Kazakhstan. Delicious, both raw and cooked. Really delicious with extra salt. The only thing is, there wasn't really a lot of salt coming out of Edmonton, though.
No.
That's the only thing. There wasn't really a lot of salt coming out of them, which is a little disappointing, but I mean, hey, I get it, you know?
And then I think we need to come back to the kitchen.
Yes, the touchdown omelet.
Stop. As I was thinking about it, as I was saying lots and lots of words. So this touchdown omelet, you got to have some meat to it.
Mm.
So, well, I was going to say some bacon.
Brave.
And it's going to need some spice too.
Mm. Yes.
So you're going to need, I'm not sure whether you go with just regular hot peppers or if you want to go for the jalapenos. But I would personally prefer the regular hot peppers. Nice dice in the hot peppers and a little bit of hot sauce in there. And then because, you know, Mr. AJ Willette is from technically the Midwest.
Ohio?
Yeah, it's
from
technical.
From Covington.
You obviously need your roughage in there. You need your, you know, stable, your onions, and your onions are good as a flavoring. That's my problem. And then I thought about, okay, well, what else could you put in there? And then I hit a wall. I think that we need to add one more thing besides the cheese in there.
Pizza sauce.
In an omelet?
You throw in a little bit of
maybe tomatoes. Yeah.
If we're going to go that route, then we might as well just, you know what?
You know what? Let's throw in the hash browns right in there.
Yeah, and I'm also thinking chili. I'm thinking chili.
Chili sauce, chili over the top of it.
Yeah.
Ooh.
You know, for the local flavor of the Skyline chili.
Dear God, I pity the bathrooms.
Well, let's put it this way. If we're doing this at a tailgate, don't do it under the bridge. if you know, you know.
Uh-huh. We may have to commandeer that one pop-up outhouse that somebody started to bring this year. Oh, no.
somebody warn them. I'm pretty sure they listen to the show too. They're going to be like, "Oh no! If they're doing that, don't bring it."
The 1 o'clock game. They're not going to be bringing it. anything else we got?
They're going to make us walk to the friggin' Enercare Center to take a dump. I can't really think of anything else at the moment.
All right. Well, I guess. Once again, we're running long. I guess that does it for the fancast this week. Doug, where can they find you?
Find me on Twitter at DougB519. You can find the Double Blue Order on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. And you can also get some nice merch that we've got up now. Now that we got the new shop up and running, you can go check that out, doublebluorder.ca.
Will, where can they find you?
You can find me on Twitter at ArgoFans or at www.argofans.com.
And you can find me at All Kinds of Clay on the various social media machines. You can find the Argos Fancast anywhere you find your friendly neighborhood podcast. Just search Argos Fancast. We are powered by Spotify for podcasters, so pull up Spotify, listen to us on Spotify, just search Argos Fancast. That does it for this edition of the Argos Fancast. Talk to you next time when we're celebrating a 3-0 record. Cheers, everyone.